Well, we have Felicibid Filicilda, and I thought he was a missionary to the Philippines. I found out he's from the Philippines and going to Congo and has been there for a while. We are really glad to have him with us. He's going to come and talk for just a minute before we show his DVD presentation, and then after that he'll come back and preach for us. So, brother, you come ahead and introduce yourself a little bit more to us. Great to have you.
Thank you, Pastor Mark and church, for giving me the opportunity to stand on this pulpit. It is a great privilege to be on another pulpit, because I believe that only few people can actually stand on this pulpit. I am Felicidad Filicilda. That means happiness. And I got saved when I was a medical student. My wife is also a nurse. I remember the time that I was sitting at the back of a Baptist church because I was a Catholic. And I was just merely invited in a Baptist church. And I was sitting at the back. And I was listening to the message. And the Holy Spirit actually was telling me to move forward. And I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and my life has changed. Since then, I was devoted in the teachings of the Word. And when I graduated from the College of Medicine, I married my girlfriend for 10 years. And both of us actually went into a Baptist church. We were actually going into a church where the pastor was an American, Pastor Howard Wynn. When I became a specialist, I transferred to Cebu City, and my pastor is Dr. Army Gisalba. And there, I became the Sunday school teacher. And at the same time, I was actually the director of the single professional group. And our ministry is to do mission work, free clinics to the different mission churches to establish the mission. On one particular occasion, I was doing a free clinic in an area that is actually very depressed. And there were a lot of children gambling. And I saw that the parents do not know the Lord. And I told my wife, I called my wife, Mama, Mama, why don't we do a Bible study in this area? And I said, okay, we will come here every Tuesday. And we went there every Tuesday, 6 o'clock every Tuesday, for a period of 6 months. And by the grace of God, we were able to have one family, and then 2 families, 3 families, 4 families. But until there were about 30 people that were coming into our Bible study. So I went to my pastor, and I said to my pastor, that, Pastor, we had already about 30 people that are attending our Bible study, and I have a burden that our church can start a church in that area. Why don't you send a Bible graduate to start a church there? And my pastor, he said, since you started the Bible study, why don't you start a church? During that time, I was already a specialist. I was the chairman of the Department of Otolaryngology, Head and Neck Surgery of Vicente Soto Memorial Medical Center, and I was also the chairman of the Department of Otolaryngology of the Southwestern University College of Medicine. I thought, why should I be doing these things? But you know, I respect my pastor, and I do not complain. I said, yes, Pastor, I will try to do it. So Sunday, on the year 2001, we started Talisay Bible Baptist Church. And I was the pioneer pastor. We started with 30 people, and now the church has about 250 people. And the pastor there is my son. Because when I surrendered to become missionary to Congo, Africa, the people voted him to become the pastor. I have 2 children. The eldest is a boy. He is 27 years old, but he was pastor of the church at the age of 24. Because I was in Congo and with my wife for 3 years now. This is the first time that we have deputated in America. For 3 years, Pastor, I was invited by the Helps Ministry to come and present our burden in Africa, but I was so busy with our Bible school that I cannot come. So my youngest daughter is a professor in the graduate school. She is a nurse, but she's 24 years old. She graduated from her Master's of Nursing, and now by May she will be graduating from her Doctor of Nursing. God is good to us. Not only because I had the privilege to serve God, but also because my children are serving God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Why is it that I was able to come to Congo? You know, my church is extension 27 of the big church. Because our church consists of about 7,000 members. And we are not accommodated in that building. So we have extension churches, and my church is extension 27. And every Tuesday we have a meeting of all the pastors. One day our pastor told us that a missionary from Africa was praying for a missionary to go to Congo, Africa. But he was praying that a doctor and a pastor will go there. And among all pastors, I was the only doctor. And I think my pastor is zeroing on me. That means to say that he is telling me to go. And I was joking that said, if I am the one, then I will go. You know, if you open your mouth unto the Lord, you cannot go back. Please don't joke about all these things, because if you promise to God, you better do your promise. So I said that, Lord, I prayed to God, you know, before you do something, you ask the Lord. And I prayed to God, Lord, if you really would like me to go, I sure would like to have a sorbet trip in Congo, Africa. But I would like that somebody from the Philippines will give the fair money. Because in the Philippines, it's not easy to give such kind of an amount. You know, the value of dollar in the Philippines is $1 is equal to about 43 pesos. That means to say that to give $2,000 just like that, it's not easy. And me and my wife will be going to Congo, Africa just merely to do a sorbet trip. Prior to this, I had a business. I was a co-distributor of an anti-cancer drug throughout the whole Visayas, Mindanao area. And the main distributor is a millionaire. And I said that, he's a friend of mine, I said that, I will be going to Congo. I said, are you crazy? I said, no, I am not crazy, but God is calling me to go to Congo. And he said to me that, if you will go to Congo, Africa, then I will give you your fare. That was 4 months ago. I did not think about it. And in fact, I would not want that somebody will give the fare, because I do not want to go. But it was my prayer to God that if somebody will give, I will go. The missionary from America, Pastor Elmer Dill, wanted to give the fair money. But I said no, because I wanted somebody from this place. One day, I was attending a mission conference, and early 5 o'clock, early morning, I received a text, and the text says, Doctor, are you really going to Congo, Africa? After 4 months, huh? 4 months. And I text back, yes, I will be going there by January. And he said, how much is the fare? I said, $4,000. And he texted back, he said, today, I will send $4,000 to your account. My brothers and sisters, instead that I will be happy, I was sad. Because it confirms my calling in Congo, Africa. But since I promised to the Lord, we went. We had a sorbi trip in Congo, Africa. And, you know, I took the picture of my wife there at the airport, and suddenly 8 soldiers gang up at us and put us to jail. That was my first experience in Congo. You are not allowed to take picture in Congo. Good that some pastors were actually there at the airport and they explained that we are strangers, foreigners, and they paid some amount of money so that we can be released. For 3 days, we did not go out from where we were staying. I was just merely praying and crying to God. Because, Lord, why do you send me here? But after 3 days, I came to realize that there must be a reason why God would like you to be there. So I challenged God that if you would like to send me here, then you will be the one that will support. Because I would not like to deputate. When I went back, after 5 months, we went back to Congo, Africa. I sold my car, and I got some savings. And I said to God that, Lord, if this is finished, we will go back. And I will go back to my practice of medicine. But by the grace of God, until now, the money that I brought cannot be finished. You know why? In Congo, Africa, they will only use dollars that have the big face, meaning to say 2006 up. But some of the dollars that I brought is 2006 down. Meaning to say that only $4,000, I brought $4,000 that is 2006 up. That those are the dollars that I was able to use. But those dollars that 2006 down, you cannot change that there. And I said that, you know, this is my word. Lord, if this is finished, and it cannot be finished. That means to say that God is wise. If God allows you to stay, He will also stay. He will let you stay. And for a period of 3 years that we were there, by the grace of God, God sustained us. Please allow me to show you what God has allowed us to do in Congo, Africa. Thank you so much. When I went to Congo, Africa, I was not thinking that I will be practicing medicine anymore. When I surrendered everything to God, I said, Lord, since you called me to Congo, I resigned from all my positions in the College of Medicine, and also I closed all my clinics, and I said that I will not practice medicine anymore, just merely to plant churches and to start the Bible school. How to do it, I didn't know. As long that we just merely went there and we allow God to do what He wants us to do. But during the time that we were planting churches, discipling people in that area, an accident happened. And that particular person had actually a maxillofacial trauma and was brought to a Seventh-day Adventist hospital. And he was the nephew of the director of the University of Lubumbashi Hospital. And God allowed that the director of the Seventh-day Adventist Hospital is a Filipino. And that man knew me, that I was the chairman of the Department of Otolaryngology, Head and Neck Surgery in the training center in our place. So he called me, I would like to help him do the operation. So I went there and saw the patient. And you know, in Congo, Africa, there are no modern instrumentations. What you have are the crude instruments. But we have to do the things that are supposed to be done. And I did the operation in that particular person in the presence of the director of the university. And by the grace of God, it went well. And the face was okay. So they invited me to teach in the university and to be able to train the doctors. And in fact, I have disciples and members of my church who are doctors already. I resigned as the chairman of the Department of Otolaryngology and Neck Surgery in our place, but God gave me again that particular position because in University of Lubumbashi, they gave me that particular title as the chairman of Otolaryngology in the University of Lubumbashi. Of course, I do not have a salary because I do not want that my time will be full-time. I do not want them to dictate my time. God is good. If He calls you, He will support you. And He will be the one that will direct the works that you will be doing. So tonight, I just would like to preach on a message from 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. Please open your Bibles on 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. And I would like to request everybody to stand to give reverence to the Word of God. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask, what shall I give thee?'" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Pastor Mark and the church. And thank you, Lord, for giving me the privilege to be able to speak in this pulpit. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of working with you. Thank you for all the graces that you have given to us. Lord, allow that you will direct us so that we can really glorify your name. Bless us today with thy message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please sit down. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" If God will ask you today, ask, what shall I give you? What will you ask? Because many times, probably these young people, because most of us are dreamers, and we have ambitions, we have goals in life, we would like to ask for money. We would like to ask for prestige, we would like to ask for fame. And I believe that each and every one of us has desire like that. But if you look at the Bible, every day in your life, God is asking us, ask. What really would you like to have in your life? Open with me to John chapter 15, verse 16. John chapter 15, verse 16. The Bible says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." You know, one thing good is that we did not choose God. God chose you. It's a privilege to be chosen by God. And it is not an accident that you are here because God chose you to be here. That means to say, you are important in this church. That means to say, you should be in this church. And you should be a part of this church so that this church will grow and so that you will be blessed by God. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. Whatsoever you ask. That means to say, God is asking, what really would you like from Him? But there are conditions to that. He said, you should go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain. If you look around, do you see a fruit? Do you see that you have a fruit as far as the gospel is concerned? Because as far as the church is concerned, I believe that the church is created by God is because for one particular purpose, to be able to preach the gospel. He says, preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am always with you till the end of the world. That's the reason why the heartbeat of the church is mission. The heartbeat of the church is soul winning. Not until we are able to relate our belief to others, others will not come to the church. God said, ask anything. Whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. And many, many times I was asking God about fame, money, and prestige. That's the reason why I studied much so that I can reach the top. In fact, by the grace of God, I had my training in reconstructive surgery here in Shams. But my friends, did it make me happy? I will tell you no. Solomon had the right answer to this particular question. Open with me to 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 9. 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 9, it says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? This great man, the son of David, asked God for wisdom and the anointing of God to better serve him and his people. He sought first the kingdom of God and not his own interest. And because of his unselfishness, God blessed him with riches and honor. I always remember my mother telling me, man proposes, God disposes. Man proposes, God disposes. Meaning to say, you work hard so that you will be successful. Man proposes, God disposes. But when I became a Christian, I came to realize that my mother was wrong. In reality, God proposed, and we will have to follow. You know why? Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Put God first in everything that you do, and He will direct and crown your efforts with success. We come to the church. We say that we are believers, but most of us, we really don't believe. You know why? Many of us reverse the situation. Instead of putting our trust in God, we seek first those things. But God said, put God first in everything that you do. And then, He will direct and crown your efforts with success. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. And then He said, all these things shall be added unto you. many of us will have to look first to all these things rather than seeking the kingdom of God. Because if really people will seek ye first the kingdom of God, this particular church is full already. And many churches, Baptist churches in America will be full. But the problem is that we are going out from God. We are losing our first love. I have always asked a question, do you really love God? And people will raise their hand. Yes, we love God. Do you really love God? And we sing a song, I surrender all. And we sing it from the heart. I surrender all. But in reality, we really didn't surrender to God. That's the reason why I will say, believers, believe. We have to believe. Because the God that I know is not a liar. Another man, an unknown man, prayed a daring prayer that contained extraordinary favor from God. I believe that you have heard about preaching about Jabez. And there is a book, The Prayer of Jabez. And I really like that book. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called unto the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my cause, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me, and God granted him that which is required. Notice the prayer of Jabez. He asked God to enlarge his cause. But that request was not to obtain more lands or more properties. In the essence of that prayer, he said, O God and King, please expand my opportunities and my life so that I can touch more lives for your glory. When I was doing operations like this, I was asking God, Lord, you have given me the knowledge and the talent to do this. Please expand my opportunity so that I can touch more lives and I can make a difference in the lives of others for your glory. Because if you make a difference in the lives of others, that means to say that you are actually touching the glory of God. You know why? God said, whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers, you are doing it to me. You are doing it to me. Jabez was saying, let me do more for you. And because his heart was right with God, God granted him his request. One more story that interests me is about Elijah and Elisha. Please open with me to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. And this is where I will start my message. It says, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee. Notice the same question, huh? Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. My brothers and sisters, once again, this very important question was asked. What can I give you? God was asking Solomon, what can I give you? Elijah was asking Elisha, what can I give you? Elisha, Solomon, Jabez wanted an opportunity and the anointing to serve God to a greater degree. I believe that Pastor Mark wants to have a higher anointing. I believe that each and every member of Bethel Baptist Church wanted to have the higher anointing of God so that you can be able to serve God. And I believe that we must hunger for the same thing. God desired that we have to leap up to a new and a higher level with Him so that we can experience our full potential. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Hungry believers can step up into a higher dimension of the anointing of God, that all those who walk in it will be filled with the glory and the power of God. Elisha wanted a double portion of Elijah's anointing. But before his mentor gave what he was asking, Elijah brought Elisha to four destinations. And I believe that if we really have the anointing of God, we will also go into that four destinations. There are no meaningless details in the Word of God. Each and every verse of the Scripture has a great significance to our lives. All Scriptures is coming from the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Number one, Elijah first took Elisha to Gilgal. Elijah first took Elisha to Gilgal. Open with me to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." What is Gilgal and where is Gilgal? Gilgal can be found in Joshua chapter 4, verse 19. It tells us that Gilgal was the first camp of Israel after crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And in Joshua chapter 5, verse 12, it is said there that, "And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." My friends, it was here at Gilgal where the manna stopped falling from heaven. For 50 years, manna was falling from heaven and the Israelites do not have to work. Meaning to say that they depended on the provision of God while they were on the desert. Manna was just merely pulling. You just pick it up and eat. What will happen if there is no more manna? What will happen to you if you no longer have a salary? What will happen to you if you cannot actually see that something, a provision can come to you if you will become a missionary? Or you will work for God. Will you still work for God? I believe that Elijah brought Elisha to Gilgal to show him that living by faith is the first step that will lead you to your full potential. If you would like to serve God, you must live by faith and not by sight. When we surrendered to become missionaries to Congo, Africa, as I have told you, we never really deputed. I relied on the promise of God. And the promise of God is this: "Can a son ask for a bread and the father will give him a stone?" Cannot be. "Can a son ask for a fish and the father will give him a serpent?" And I said to the Lord, "Lord, I believe that you are my father, John 1:12, it says, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I believe him. I receive him. And he is my father. I believe him. And if he is my father, I know who is my father. He owns the cattle and the gold and the diamonds and the silver and everything here. He is the holder of the heart of any king here on earth. I know who he is. And I believe that he can do these things. So I had faith in him. So I said, if you really call me, I know that you will provide. Because I have a son. If I will send my son from Cebu to Manila, and I will have an errand for him, and I will say, okay, you go to Manila, you do this and that, and I will say, and I will not give you any money, you just merely swim going to Manila. I cannot do that. Because every minute of my life, I always think for something good to my son. And I believe that God is thinking good for me and for you. But you must have faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. That's the reason why faith is so important to God, that you cannot even enter heaven without faith. Because the Bible says, without faith, you can never please God. You cannot please God. The reason why you are saved is because of faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Lest anyone should boast. I can boast, and probably I will say, I am a doctor, and therefore, I can do these things. No. Because the qualification of a doctor is not necessary in the eyes of God. What is necessary in the eyes of God is faith. Faith. There was a moment in our life that I wanted to go back. You know why? I cannot afford to give my wife a sala seat in Congo, Africa. For 6 months, while we were yet in Congo, when we were starting our lives as missionaries, we do not have chairs like this. We have plastic chairs. We have table for eating plastic because that's the only thing that we can afford. And there were 3 people staying with us translating the books from English to French. But you know what? I still believe that God can provide all our needs according to His riches and glory. The Bible says, and I will supply all your needs. According to my riches? No. He said, according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Joel, one of the boys that was staying with us, noticed, you know, our sala, that is the kitchen, is empty. And most of the times when they go to the kitchen, they will just merely pass like this. Go to the kitchen. But me, no. I will do like this. And go like that. Do not pass by that area. And Joe will ask me, Pastor, I have noticed several times that you do not pass to that area. You will really turn like this. And I said, I do not want to disturb the sala set. Where's the sala set? It's there, but you cannot see it now. 2 weeks after that question. I won a woman from the United Nations. He is an Eritrean. He is not even a Christian. He went to the house, was looking for me, together with another Nigerian woman working in United Nations. And he said, Pastor, please pray for us because we will be transferred to Uganda. And I said, yes, I will pray for you. And I prayed for them. And she noted that we do not have salasit. Pastor, you don't have a salasit. At present, I cannot afford it. And I said, in the United Nations, Pastor, we are provided with all these things, but we cannot bring it to Uganda. I better donate everything in your house. So she donated the salaset, the refrigerator, the electric fan, and everything from the house. And my house becomes complete. My brothers and sisters, you know, even the rocks, if God wants, those rocks can be used by God so that you will be provided. In the history of Elijah, it was not the Christian who provided to Elijah for food, but the ravens. If God wants it, but it is much better that we Christian will have to work hand in hand for the glory of God. When you walk by faith, life seems a little bit more difficult. But God wants that we have to be strengthened in our spiritual muscle. You know, in the wilderness, Moses was the mediator for the Israelites. But when you arrive at Gilgal, there is no more mediator. You stop depending on others to tell God what you want. By faith, you have to hear from God. You have to tell directly to God and you have to converse directly to God. That's faith. The second area that Elijah brought Elisha was Bethel. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 2. It says, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. To Elisha said unto him, so the Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So that thee went to Bethel. My friends, at Gilgal, you lose what you can see. You can never see the manna anymore. But at Bethel, you lose what you can feel. Bethel was the place that Jacob met God. And Jacob wrestled with God during the whole night. And during that wrestling match between God and Jacob, God was pushing Jacob. But Jacob hold on. Jacob said, please bless me, I will not let you go until you bless me. But God, no. But Jacob wrestled with God. Have you ever come to a situation in your life wherein the presence of God can no longer be felt? It seems that God is not there. You pray to God, but there is no answer. How many times have you done that? That it seems that there is no answer. And many times, when God is not answering, we stop praying. And many times we don't come to the church anymore. God is not good. I will not come to the church anymore. You stop. But look at the example of Jacob. Jacob, hold on. He never let go of God. And I will tell you, in spite of everything that happens into your life, never let go of God. Never ever let go of God. We need to grab and hold on to God and not let go until we receive the full manifestation of what He has promised. Because God is not a liar. after the long night of struggling with God, Jacob held so tightly, but God touched his hip. And the hip was thrown out of the joint. That's the reason why Jacob had a limp like this. Jacob asked for a blessing, but instead of blessing, a limp. Is that a blessing? Before God gave him a blessing, Jacob had a limp. But look, what is the meaning of that limp? Let us analyze why God gave Jacob the limp. It means, my friends, that if you have the limp, you will always need someone or something to lean on. And you will also have to struggle doing what you want to do. The meaning of Jacob's limp is that if you want to walk in the blessings of God and to have a higher anointing, then you will have to learn to lean on to God. If you have a limp, you are leaning on something. Many of us think that we can just do the things on our own. When I became a pastor, I thought that because I was earning good, I can get my earning and put it into the church like that. But after 2 years, pastor, I was burned out. I wanted to get out of the ministry. And I said, I will get a second man so that slowly I will get out of the ministry. That was my plan. And I was looking at my people, and I was looking at them. I said, they are just merely using me. You know, I had bad ideas. And sometimes we pastors have bad ideas too. I started to bow down and starting to be like Jonah. And you know what? I really did it. But one day, I was doing 3 operations. And in the 3rd operation, suddenly I had a heart attack. That was 7 years ago. Or 8 years ago. 8 years ago. It was a severe heart attack that I was a flatliner. They brought me immediately to the emergency room. And they did a defibrillation to me 6 times. But I was not responding. All my friends, cardiologists, heart surgeons, were there. They wanted to do an open heart surgery to me so that they can just merely pump my heart. But my wife refused. So instead, there is an apparato that they can insert and they pump it through a bulb. They thought that I died. But here is my experience. I was in a tube full of light. And I will tell you, as God is my witness, that the time of death is better than the time of birth. Death is an exhilarating experience for those that are saved. I was in a tube full of light and I was just merely going up. And it was so nice that I forgot my wife. I seldom forget my wife. But when I was reaching into that beautiful place, I suddenly remembered that my children have not yet graduated from college. And you know, my children eat much. Who will feed them? And I started to be wary. And I started to pray. And I asked the Lord, Lord, who will feed my children? You know that my wife resigned from her position so that she can be a full-time housewife and be able to attend to the church. And you know what? You can talk with God. I was talking to God and I saw the things all my mistakes. And God said, go back and you will experience the experience of Jonah. Probably you will tell me that I am crazy, because most of my colleagues says that I am crazy, or because I resigned from all my positions. But this is the truth, and I am telling you the truth. I can see my body. I was having a near-death experience. I can see my body, what they were doing and what they were talking. And they were trying to insert the stent to my coronary arteries, but they were not able to do it because all my coronary arteries were too constricted. And Dr. Chu, the interventional cardiologist, said, we cannot insert the stent, so we'll just put it in the main coronary artery. So I had a stent in my main coronary artery. But I went inside my body. And when I woke up, I was in the ICU. Having a tube here, tube here, tube here, tube here. And I was just merely doing that, but I was alive. I cannot move. I cannot talk. I can just merely signal with my eyes. It seems that I was in the belly of the whale. Because you cannot just merely move. But you can, you know, there was even a moment in time that my lips were dry, and I was doing this to my wife. And my wife thought that I want to kiss her, so she was kissing me. 3 days. I was like that 3 days. After 3 days, they removed it. And I started talking. They did a 2D echo to my heart. And my heart was just merely giving 40% ejection. That means to say that I may not be able to do the normal work that I was doing. 40% ejection fraction. They say that I will not be able to walk properly. I will just merely be sitting down like that. I will be a vegetable. But I refuse to believe in that. But I have all the data that they presented to me. But after 10 days, I walked out from the hospital. And I believe that God healed me. For that reason, I surrendered all my life to God. Because this life is not my own. You have to die in order to live. In order that you may be able to surrender everything to God. Mark 10, chapter 30. Because Jesus said, you have to count the cost. And he was telling Peter, you will have hundredfold return of your giving with persecutions. In Mark chapter 10, verse 30, he says, and he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and land with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal. There always has been and there always will be a struggle to walk in the perfect will of God. The decision we all must make is whether or not we want to confront these struggles in order to fulfill the call of God in our lives. Because there will always be problems that will come to your lives. In fact, in James chapter 1, verse 2-4, it says, my brothers, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Experience teaches us that the rewards of getting blessed by God far exceeds whatever struggles you may go through. That is, if you are willing to pay the price. You cannot have rewards without paying the price. It's just like the principle of planting, of sowing and reaping. You cannot plant 2 hectares and then harvest 5 hectares. If you plant 2 hectares, you harvest 2 hectares. Success is not free nor is cheap. Indeed, there is a price to pay for success. But in any adversity, my friends, we are reminded, as Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God is with me, who can be against me? And that I believe. That's the reason why sometimes when something goes wrong into your life, you have to focus on the faith. You have to focus on the blessings that will have to follow. The Bible says, those things that you see are temporal, but those things that you do not see are eternal. But many of us are focusing on things that we see. The disciples were worried that they will not be able to feed the 5,000 people. Where can we get food to feed for these people? But there was a small child that gave his 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. 5 loaves of bread, 2 fishes was enough to feed the multitudes. That means to say, my friends, even a small amount, as long that God blessed it, it can do the work. I believe that the key to a higher anointing and a living a victorious life is to rejoice that your cup is half full instead of half empty. Because most of the times we look at, oh, my cup is half empty. Why don't you rejoice that it is half full? You are looking at the problem rather than the solution to the problem. Yes, there will always be struggles. There will always be the limp. And there will always be the thorn on the flesh. But I thank the Lord that His grace is sufficient. Our problems will introduce us to ourselves and cause us to find what we are made up. Are you made up of stone? Or you are made up of hay? Every obstacle will bring a change into your life. You will either be stronger or you will be weaker. At Bethel, you learn to lean on to God, even though His presence is not felt. And it is vital that we learn this, because the next area where Elijah took Elisha was Jericho. Where is Jericho? Look at 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 4. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Historians tell us that it was near Jericho that Jesus spent 40 days fasting in the wilderness. Jesus went to Jericho alone, and waiting for him there was the devil himself. My friends, at Jericho you will face your toughest battle, your biggest battle. I repeat, at Gilgal, you do not see what you used to see. At Bethel, you do not feel what you need to feel. But at Jericho, you experience the darkest moment of your life. Jesus met the devil in the wilderness of Jericho, and so you will. I met the greatest temptation of my life in Congo, Africa. One day, my wife got sick in Congo. She had a severe abdominal pain. And you know, if you are a doctor and you do not know what you will be doing to your wife, you are at a loss. She was sweating profusely. every time that there is pain, I was trying to give her pain reliever, give her antacid, give her anything. And my wife is a nurse also. So we talk about the management, but it did not stop. I prayed to God. But God did not hear me. And you know, I did not have enough amount of money to bring my wife back to the Philippines. Because every time we go to Congo, we only purchase ticket going there. Because we have a missionary visa, they permit us. And we save money so that we can go home. And it takes about 1 or 2 years before we go home. But at that moment in time, even if I have the money to go home, she will not be permitted by the authority of the plane to be brought to the Philippines. There is no other alternative except to operate because the bladder was so distended and was infected, and there were several multiple stones. Here is the problem. I am not an abdominal surgeon. And I cannot depend on their abdominal surgeons because I have seen them operate. And some doctors that are practicing there are not really doctors. In fact, one of the director of the nursing school is a veterinarian. So I have to do it myself. We went into the Seventh-day Adventist Hospital. And I operated on my wife. It was a Jericho to me. Can you feel what I felt during the time that I cut the flesh of my beloved wife? As I was cutting, every time I remember it, I can cry. Because, you know, I was the one who was called by God. She just merely went with me. She was just merely a dutiful wife who loves us. And here she is suffering. And you know, when I cut her flesh, I was also crying. And I said to God, Lord, why are you doing this to me? I have resigned from all my positions, from all the things that you have given to me. But now, you are leaving me. And I was doing it. Suddenly the word of God was telling me, I was nailed on the cross. I came from heaven and I went down to earth to become a servant. Why do you complain? And I told him, yeah, I cannot complain. You experienced what I experienced. So I continued doing it, removed the gallbladder. But the problem was, it did not stop there. 12 hours after the surgery, my wife had a supraventricular tachycardia. The problem was, we do not have ECG. The heart rate went to 300. And there was no blood pressure. And I thought that I will lose my wife. I called up my children, and they were crying. I talked to my friend who is a cardiologist, and the cardiologist said, give this like that and like that. I ordered the medicine, but there was no medicine throughout the whole Lubumbashi. Nothing whatsoever I can do except to pray. The feet of my wife was so cold that I embraced her. And I recited Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me unto the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I shall fear no evil, because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I recited it several times, and the peace that passeth all understanding befall me. And I said, Lord, even if you take my wife, I will continue serving you. And I fall asleep. Early in the morning, 6 o'clock, somebody was tapping my shoulder. And I heard the voice of my wife saying, I like to eat. I like to eat. Amen. The Lord is good. He hears my prayer. The critical point in our lives can come. But all we have to do is follow Jesus' example when he was tempted in Jericho. He said, it is written. It is written. In this book, the promises of God is written. All you have to do is claim it. During Job's Jericho experience, he confessed to God, though you will slay me, yet will I trust you. Psalms 34 verse 17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Great battles brings great victory. I never ever regretted that we surrendered our lives to become missionaries to Congo, Africa. You know why? Because I have seen the miracles of God. When I was practicing as a physician and was the chairman and probably was earning much, I have never ever seen miracles. But now, I can see that God is real in my life. Do you know the reason why the name of God is I am? Who are you? He said, I am who I am. You know why? Because he said, I am who I am according to your personal experience. You cannot say that God is a giver if you were not given. You cannot say that God is merciful if he did not show mercy to you. I am who I am because he showed mercy to me. He is a merciful God. He is a giver God. He is a powerful God. He showed to me everything, and he has shown to me what true miracle is. God will also ask you this question, but not until after you have passed your Jericho. The reason why many people are not able to serve God is because they forget their Jericho experience. You cannot depend on God. But after Jericho, the fourth place is Jordan. Jordan, or the Jordan River, played a significant part in the history of Israel as well as the aerial part of the Lord's ministry. It was a place of new beginnings. It bordered the land that was flowing with milk and honey. And it was here that Joshua and Caleb began their quest to conquer the promised land. And Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. And immediately the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and filled him with the anointed power and majesty. And it is here in Jordan that Elisha received the double portion of the spirit of Elijah. In our life, if we would like to have the higher anointing of God, you will have to pass Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho. But I believe that now I am in my Jordan. You know why? I have written in my testimony that nothing, no person, no things, no events can cause me to say that God is not good. Because God is good all the time. And God is good to you as He is good to me. God is good to America. But the question is, are you good to God? That's the question. God is good to America, but are you good to God? I can see in your money, in God we trust. I love America. I got saved because of missionaries coming from America. The missionary that went there is Bob Hughes. And Bob Hughes trained my pastor. And my pastor is a great pastor. I respect him a lot. That means to say, you have done good to send out missionaries. But are you sending missionaries now? Or you have become complacent? God is good. But are we good to God? Let us pray. Before I pray, I would like to ask a question from you. Let us examine ourselves, because I know for sure that you have experienced the things that I have experienced. You have gone through your Gilgal, you have gone through your Bethel, you have gone through your Jericho, and most of you are in your Jordan. But when you were in your Jordan, you forget your Gilgal, you forget your Bethel, you forget your Jericho. And instead of thanking God that you are now in that promised land and in your Jordan, you become complacent. We forget our first love. Can we say to God, missionary, we promise to God that we will go back to our first love. It is between you and God. It's not between you and me. But God is telling us today to remember our Gilgal, to remember our Bethel, to remember our Jericho. God has been faithful to us. Now, He placed you in your Jordan. But can we not just merely remember God? Who can say, I will remember God and will be true to Him? Is there somebody who will raise the hand? Honest. I will. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. It is between you and God. And allow me to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege that you have given to me and to my wife and to my children to serve you. It's a great privilege to be under your power. And I thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you for Pastor Mark. and for his family, for putting their lives also into your hand. Thank you for this church. Lord, thank you for the hands that has been raised. You have sent their hearts. And you know, Lord, please lead each and every one of us that we can glorify you in all aspects of our lives. Lord God, you are faithful to us, but most of the times we are not faithful. Please forgive us, O Lord. I pray, Lord, for Congo, Africa. I pray, Lord, for all missionaries throughout the whole world. I pray, Lord, for all the churches, that we can come together so that we will be able really to do the work properly. The Great Commission, you said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And you declared, preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am always with you, till the end of the world. Lord God, thank you that you have allowed us to be a part of that. I pray that this church will be a part of the Great Commission, and all the people that are members of this church, because the heartbeat of the church is mission and soul winning. Thank you for the experience that you have given me to become a blessing to the people. Lord, you know my heart, and you know why I have come. I have not come, O Lord, so that I can beg for money. I have come so that I can be a blessing. I have come so that I may be able to teach and to be able to tell your people that it is time that we will have to do something for you, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. It is the time that we will have to wake up, because the enemy, the devil, is just like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Lord God, allow your people to wake up. Allow that we may really move forward and be given the privilege to serve thee in whatever things we can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.